Welcome to the Entrepreneur Hot Seat, where I talk to entrepreneurs and business people from all walks of life and all levels of success, from millionaires to the people who are just starting out, and everyone in between. My objective is not only to learn about their businesses and goals, but about their challenges and fears as well, all with the hopes of helping them and you find a pathway to success. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Entrepreneur Hot Seat. And I am really ecstatic today to be joined by my friend Jarek Robbins. And if you don't know Jarek, he is a performance coach, a lifestyle entrepreneur. He's an author, a blogger, a speaker, the creator of Performance Coach University, which is actually where made my chops or, became certified as a coach under Jarek through PCU, and also the head of Rapid Results Retreats, which is a pretty cool retreat that it's been running around the world, I believe. And Jarek works a lot with entrepreneurs, as well as being an entrepreneur himself. So I thought it'd be really interesting and useful to have Jarek on the show. So Jarek, welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, sir, for having me. And thank you, everyone, for listening, watching, tuning in some way, shape, or form. Nice to have your ears and eyes for just a moment of life.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel the same way. Much appreciated. So, Jarek, if you wouldn't mind, for people that don't know you, could you give just a little bit about your background and who you are, what you do, and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. I started blogging in about 2011, I think, and things just kind of took off from there. I'm just kidding.
All right, guys, we're done. Thanks for coming on the show.
So I jokingly say that. I say that to people when I first meet them, and I just like to watch their faces because normally their face goes blank, their jaw hits the ground, and they're like, well, you can make a living doing that?
Well, there are people that have that. I mean, isn't that basically Pat Flynn's story right there?
He started vlogging, right? I mean, vlogging, podcasting, if you want John Lee Dumas in there.
Right, exactly.
There's a lot of these opportunities that explode. And mine's a little different. I didn't have some epiphany moment where I sat down and started something from scratch and like, kabam, I was the new Instagram leader of the world. I grew up in this industry as far as increasing performance, maximizing personal potential. And it was really interesting just being in my mom's belly, you know, when I was, I don't know how many months old, but I was in her belly, being grown, and she was teaching people how to break through their fears by breaking bricks with their bare hands. So, you know, it's kind of a little badassery tied in there from mom's aspect of teaching people how to destroy limiting beliefs, destroy fears that are holding them back, and teach them how to empower themselves by using physical metaphors and opportunities to break through things. Since birth, and my godfather co-founded NLP, which was a huge thing back in the 80s. Mr. John Grinder, he's an amazing man. Had a chance to hang out with him when I was in, you know, high school and college. I think when a lot of my friends were saving up money to go to like Cabo and party for spring break, I was saving up money to fly to butt-ass cold Denmark and go attend a course with a bunch of doctors.
Huh, that's definitely different.
It's a little different, You know, they were partying and stuff, and I was sitting in a room with a guy teaching the basics of getting through deep phobias and curing lifelong fears. And I was like, cool. And I'd come home and like, what did you do? I'm like, learn some cool stuff.
Yeah.
It's a little different. And I grew up, you know, watching different members of my family lead events and retreats and seminars and all kinds of stuff. And the God honest truth, though, from probably, I don't know, 5-10 years old all the way to probably like 15-14 years old, I didn't do a whole lot with it. Meaning I had access to it. I went to seminars. I wrote down in little manuals, like I wanted to be a pro surfer and maybe even play basketball when I grew up. I was a B and C student, maybe even a D every now and then, like certainly no A's on my report card. And I wasn't even healthy. You know, on Friday night, I'd eat an extra large cheese pizza by myself because I was obsessed with playing basketball the next day. And I just wanted a lot of food in my belly.
Totally. I've heard that's key for performance on the basketball court.
Of course, high performance, eat an extra large cheese pizza every Friday night, boom, followed up with a liter of Coca-Cola and bam, you're going to explode in performance. You'll run those 18-minute miles flat, no whims about it. And that was me at that time. I think at that stage of life, I was just obsessed with basketball. I don't know if any other people have this kind of obsession with something in their life, but yep. I remember a girl calling me, you know, on a Friday night at 10 o'clock and me picking up the phone and being like, hello? Because I was trying to sleep. She was like, "Oh, do you want to go to a party?" I was like, "Are you crazy?" And I hung up on her because I was like, "Crazy! I have basketball in the morning. I'm not going anywhere. I'm sleeping."
Right.
And so basketball certainly had my heart and my focus, but nothing else really mattered at that stage of life. Right around 15 years old, I started taking some of this information that had been around me, and I started applying it. And I started saying, "You know what? I'm going to test this stuff. If all these people rave about how it changes their life and helps them make money and live their dreams and meet the woman of their man or their dreams and travel the world and do all this stuff, I'm like, okay, let's see if it's really true." So I took some of the programs. I started listening to them. All different programs, some on health, some on wealth, some on prosperity, some on mindset, abundance, you know, as a man thinketh, think and grow rich, all this fundamental things as far as books and information. And I started applying it. And things changed. You know, I picked up 3 or 4 sports at school. I started wrestling, playing basketball, playing football, which drastically changed my health and wellness, obviously, just from being that much movement and that athletic. From there, started adjusting my diet, having a lot more energy and performance, ability to focus at a whole new level. Got rid of that brain fog that I didn't even realize was there, and had mental clarity at a whole new level just by shifting up what I was fueling my body with. From there, I went from a BC and a little bit of D student to straight A student the next year. From there, decided that as I was graduating, I started winning trophies and medals in sports, which was kind of cool. And then I graduated. I applied for 3 colleges. I got into one, and the other two were I got into 2. But the one that said no was the one I decided to like latch onto because that's the one I needed to go to. And you know, I did something that I think was very important that's very useful later in my life and career and for most entrepreneurs, which was, you know, I decided I was going there. And even if they said no, I still decided I was going there. And the tenacity kicked in, the resiliency kicked in, because I went every single day for like 45 days in a row to the admittance office and asked them every day if they were going to let me in yet. And I sat and talked with the counselor. You know, I asked them questions. I asked about the school. I did my research. I did my homework. And I kept going back and back and back and back and back. And I think somewhere around day 30, they were like, "Please don't come back anymore. Like, try again next year." Right. You know, but on day like 36 or something, he was like, "Hey, why don't we do this? Why don't you just call me each day and I'll tell you if there's any updates."
Right.
And I think somewhere along the way, I had sat down with him and he told me about this thing called late admittance. And I was like, "What's that?" And he's like, "Basically, where the people who got in decide not to come here. And then we have a couple extra spaces." And so I did my research. I figured out what I had to do to write some essays, to do this other stuff, to be, set for late admittance. And I finally got in, and I was kind of ashamed of that for the first 4 years of college, because I didn't want anyone else to know that I didn't get in when they did.
Right.
And what's interesting, I was on the final year, final semester, I was talking to some good friends who I'd spent 4 years with. And I remember one of the girls, she told me, she's like, "You know, what's crazy. I didn't get accepted when I first applied here." And I looked at her, I'm like, "Really?" And I was around, I'm like, "Anyone else?" And someone else was like, "Yeah, I didn't get accepted either." It's like, "Really? How the hell are we all here?" I'm like, yeah. Creepy and eerie that we found each other, but how did we all end up here? And she's like, "When I didn't get accepted, I wrote a 127 page letter, came to the admittance off the next day and set it on their desk, and they instantly admitted me." Nice. And I was like, "Wow, that's crazy. 120. I'm like, "What the hell did you write about? Like a life story? Like, that's a big freaking letter." And they're like, "What about you?" And I'm like, "I came 47 something days in a row." And they're like, "Oh, that makes sense. The other person did something else crazy too." And I was like, "Interesting. Not everyone got led in that way, but resiliency, tenacity, and consistency got a handful of us in that otherwise would have been passed up."
Is it also possible that college decided not to let anybody in just to see what they would do?
Possibility, just to see who wanted it. Everyone else freaked out and came and aggressively applied. Right. Maybe. Yeah. But tactical move, or, you know, it's just a handful of people that attracted to each other because we all had the same grit inside of ourselves as far as going for something we want and not giving up till we got it. And we were a little stubborn about it, which for entrepreneurship is a big deal. Absolutely. Later in life, that certainly paid off, that skill set. And obviously there's a fine line between getting kicked out, arrested, and locked up for showing up too many times.
Yep, right.
But then there's the other fine line of like, no, I kept riding that persistency until they let me in. And it wasn't based on how smart I was or how talented I was or how good looking I was. It was based on the fact that, you know, I wanted to be there and I was willing to show them I was going to put in the effort and consistently keep going at it until I got there. And, you know, the other factor is they want people who graduate. So the factor of I'm going to keep coming back shows them I'm going to stay resilient. If I work this hard to get it, I'm not going to just let it go for no reason. And I remember watching friend after friend after friend just drop out, go away, not come back next semester, decide to do something else, go to a different school. And those are things they obviously don't want happening at any university. So fast forward from there, couple trips that really transformed my just perspective of life and perspective of the world. One of which was junior year in college, did semester at sea. It was a 110-day voyage around the world. Started off in Vancouver, went through Japan, China, Hong Kong, India, Thailand, Vietnam, Kenya, South Africa, Tanzania, before South Africa, Brazil, Venezuela, back up to Florida, all in 110 days. We did school on board with all our other classmates, and we had professors on board that were teaching us different stuff. I was learning sociology and psychology when I was on board, specifically cross-cultural psychology. And so what was neat is I'd read stuff in a book of how different cultures worked and how different groups of people work. Then we'd land in the country and I'd get to go walk into a collectivist culture and be like, wow, it really does work this way. Hey, look at that. Wow, look at the way they communicate with each other. This is interesting. And so you're learning something in a textbook and you're physically seeing it in motion in that part of the world, which was remarkable. And it gave me the ability to test a lot of the information I'd learned from different facets all in these communities and really see how it actually involves, you know, and evolves around the world, which is pretty neat. From there, fast forward, a couple key distinctions that made. I grew up in Southern California. I had a father who was homeless when he was 16 years old. By the time I was born, he had made himself a self-made millionaire. Since then, he's got, I don't know, 20-something companies. He does about $6 billion a year in revenue between all of them nowadays.
He's doing pretty well.
It does okay. And so what's wild in that is I grew up pretty blessed. And everything wasn't perfect. Everything wasn't always covered and always paid for. But for the most part, I never had to worry if I had a place to live. I never had to worry if I was going to have food. I never had to worry about clothes or getting to school. And we, you know, my mom and I had stuff where she'd go work on the weekends at swap meets and really hustle to make extra money. So we had spending money, but we were never down and out at any point. Dad was working his face off to make that possible for us when I was younger. I grew up in Southern California, pretty nice place. And when I had got to go set foot in China, Vietnam, Thailand, Tanzania, South Africa, these places, I got to walk into places where you'd see a shanty town where the whole city lives in little tin huts that get bulldozed once a month, you know, where people didn't have access to physical water. Like there's no water to drink. You can't go anywhere and just grab a bottle of it because it doesn't exist anywhere. Where there was no food around, it's like, holy mackerel. And you start to meet these people. So my heart was kind of cracked open there. And I was like, you know, I just can't come home and go to a fancy school and just hang out and do nothing. Like I have to help. And this is something that's another thread that'll show how this parlays in business in a little bit. But what's interesting, I decided to come home. I packed up, joined a volunteer organization, and I moved back to Uganda and spent 3 months living in a rural farming village over in Uganda teaching organic farming. And so there was a lot of interesting lessons there, you know, learning how to go door knock basically and go from farm to farm and ask the farmers to come and join us for a meeting later that week. Many of them would just roll their eyes and say no, because some Westerners are the ones who caused the problem in this village. They came in and sold them 13 years illegal pesticides, both in the UK and the US. People came and did it. And the pesticides were illegal for over 13 years, both in the US and the UK. And these companies and people were trying to find a place to dump it. So they went and sold it to farmers in rural Africa and killed off their coffee plantations, killed their land, poisoned their people. And we were there to help turn that back around. And so obviously there was a bit of distrust as we were walking through town telling them we were going to help, because that's what the last people said, who killed all their stuff.
Right.
So a little bit of entrepreneurship, you know, sales and marketing.
Yep, absolutely.
How do you convince them you're worth listening to? How do you convince them to actually show up to the meeting? How do you convince them to actually go home and put this stuff to work to get their coffee plantation back up and running, get their pineapples, get the poison out of that stuff, and get the world ground actually working for them instead of against them?
Yeah.
And so just things, life skills that are going on through all these things that add up to really important skill sets later on through entrepreneurship. From there, got really sick, got told at one point, because I was being stubborn and not taking the damn medicine they wanted me to take, but got told I possibly had 6 days left to live. Changed my whole perception on a lot of different things there. Had me sit back, scratch my head and be like, wow, 20 years old, if I really only have 6 days left to live, well, first off, that sucks. Like, let's just start there. That's not cool. That doesn't qualify in the cool category of life. Secondly, looking around and thinking about it, I had a long list of stuff I always wanted to experience, whether it was getting married, having a family, finishing my degree, starting a business, helping people, making a difference in the world, doing something that'll leave a legacy far beyond me physically, traveling more, seeing more of the world, doing more things, helping more people.
Right.
Starting a company, like all kinds of stuff I wanted to do. And in 6 days, it wasn't likely most of those things were going to happen. And so it pushed me back to something we talk about in our book, something we talk about, which is kind of designing your ideal day, mm-hmm. which is, if I only had 6 days left to live, how would I live each one of those days so that I would be so fulfilled, so alive, so passionate, and so full of life that there's nothing else I could ask for. And there was a, you know, stimulus to start designing that day, and who would I be with? Where would I go? How would I feel? What's all the pieces that'd be involved that would allow me to live such a rich life that even if I did die on day six, I'd die high-fiving myself. That was awesome.
Not too many people get to do that.
No, they really don't. And they spend a whole life not able to do that. So right. My thought is, why wait? And you know, the other part was, as I P.S. No, I hate to say it, but a few people listening, I'm probably going to be freaking out right now. Like, did he make it? Did he get past the 6 days? I'm still here. It's me. That was probably... I don't
know. Is actually a recording from 10 years ago.
17 years ago. Like,
right.
I made it.
You made it.
People always ask, though. Like, I get off stage and they're like, did you survive? I was like, I hate to break it to you.
Yes.
I'm still this guy right here. I'm right. I'm doing good. So just in case, if anyone was wondering, I made it.
That's funny.
Seems silly, but some people's brain gets caught on that one fact and they can't get past it.
Yep.
So I did survive. And when I came home, you know, I had some time where I had to re-show myself that I was capable of certain things, because I lost, I think, 15 or 20 pounds in 1 week. I lost most of my muscle mass. I was not very strong. Like, walking upstairs would wind me at that point in my life. My blood count was really down. I was anemic. And so it wasn't my favorite moment of life. And so when I got back, I went back to school and I had to take it easy just because physically I wasn't like really going strong. And then I started building up my endurance physically, mentally, and emotionally to get myself to a place where I started running marathons, eventually did some triathlons, and just to show myself like, hey, you're fine. Like, everything's good. You're good to go. Let's push hard and show yourself what's possible. So that's kind of the personal stuff. And then there's lessons all throughout those journeys that have really, really paid off in entrepreneurship and been incredibly helpful as far as tenacity, consistency, learning sales and marketing out in the real world, not just like signing up for a sales job and seeing how it goes, like having to convince people and actually market to them and sell to them in something that'll absolutely transform their life in a positive way. And so all these things unfolded, left me at a point where I finally graduated school, got my BA in psychology from the University of San Diego. And I decided, since the best use of my BA in psychology would be to go into a sales job for 2 years, obviously.
Totally. So I picked
up a sales job. Young people do it. I did it. And the job involved, for 3 months at a time, we'd get positioned in different parts of the US, and we would have 3 months to go sell 200 plus people into a upcoming event and seminar training that was coming up. So I spent 2 years doing that, did over almost 1,000 presentations on the road. And every single day it'd be my job to walk out into a community where I've never been, never met anybody, didn't know anybody. And my job would be to identify a place that looked like the right place to sell to go knock on their door, to offer them a 55-minute power pack presentation of awesomeness for their people. And at the end, in the last, you know, 5 to 7 minutes, offer them the event, the ability to come to the event and spend anywhere between $700 to $3,000. And I'd have, you know, roughly 60 minutes to pull that off.
Wow.
That's
a pretty good training ground right there.
Great training ground. And to do it 1,000 times in 2 years was awesome.
Wow.
And so what happened was I built some muscle, because in the beginning I was horrific. I was not talented at this. I wasn't a great speaker, wasn't a great presenter, and sure as heck was not a good salesperson. Mm. You know, I'd buy people tickets because I felt bad for them, and I'd be putting on my credit card as I'm walking out of the door, like the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that's not going to pay the bills for you.
No, I was paying their bills. I'm like, here, just go. It's going to change your life. Like,
you really need to go to this. Yeah.
You need to go here. I'll send you. I'll be your sponsor. Like, damn, there, you bought a ticket. Congratulations. Like, I was not very good at this.
Right.
And I had to learn the skill and get better at it. And my very last cycle, I finished as the top sales guy on our team for that cycle, which was pretty awesome. So it was neat to see the improvement over 2 years. But then I finally realized something, and it's like, you know, my game, my DNA, you know, if I cross-sectioned what I love to do, what I was good at, and what people needed, it wasn't sales for me. Like, I like sales. It just wasn't that. That wasn't what I was made to do as a human being. So I sat down, made a list of, here's everything I love to do. here's everything I'm really good at, meaning I have some talent at, and what does the world really need? What are they willing to invest in? What are they willing to pay for? What are things that the actual people need value-wise? And when I cross-section those three questions, I kept coming to some type of training, coaching, something where I was literally helping them every day become the strongest, happiest, healthiest, most fulfilled version of themselves. And I didn't know at the time if that was personal training, if that was personal coaching, if that was, you know, becoming a doctor, if that was becoming a health coach, a life coach. Like, I didn't know. It was something of just helping people, but I didn't know the capacity to do that. So I sat down, and when I started off, P.S., little fast forward, I had spent 6 years coaching in a very large coaching organization that you know, a member of my family owns. And so I worked with them for 6 years, and I had lots of experience. I had coached over 1,000 people on their behalf in one-on-one performance coaching. And a little bit of life coaching in there too, but mostly performance. And so I had some experience, and I sat down, and I didn't know if coaching was it, but I sat down, I wrote it out for myself, and I was like, you know, I'm going to see if I can do this. And, you know, I've had some sales training, had some marketing training, had 6 years of coach training of practice and really truly getting people tangible, measurable results. I was like, I wonder if I combine these three, if some magical happened there. Combined them, threw up a website, a horrific, ugly black and white website. Nice. I chose a beautiful black and white picture of a tree in Africa that was looks like it's dying because I took the picture and I was proud of it. So I used that as my symbol of the tree of life, I guess. I don't know what it was. Nice. And I threw it up, and all it said was like, here's who I am, sign up for coaching. And you click the link and it opens up an email that you could, and I pre-wrote the subject, which said, I'm interested in coaching. That was my big sales pitch to people. Believe it or not, my first client signed up. It was a law office over in London, England. They wanted some help performance-wise as far as time management was concerned. Figured out how to help them maximize their efficiency, maximize their performance as far as being a partner in that firm. They loved it so much, they referred me to a few other of their clients and friends. So that started to grow my coaching practice. And I was like, hey, I started to get 3 to 5 coaching clients a month. And I was like, this is really awesome. You know, it's working, I'm doing it. And at the time, I had quit my job, which I left behind my corporate apartment, my corporate car, my corporate cell phone, my corporate everything else that came with the job. And I was living in the front den of a house with 3 roommates in Hillcrest, San Diego. That front den of the house was my office, my bedroom, and everything I had at that moment of life. And it had like the IKEA, you know, plastic closet that had my clothes in it and, you know, everything. That's it.
Living in luxury. Sounds nice.
Exactly. A laptop, cell phone, and the internet was my business. And that's what I started with. And what's funny, one of my 3 roommates had inherited some money and she was a little upset. So she was watching Sex and the City every day outside of my curtain as my door. So I'd hear dump, da, dump, 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 dump every freaking day. And she'd stick her head in the curtain and be like, what are you doing? I'm like, building a business. She's like, sure you are. And then she'd close and walk away. So they teased the tar out of me. And then what was funny though, is when it started working, because within the first 8 months, I enrolled 55 one-on-one coaching clients. Wow. So I went from scratch to 55 clients. And those were monthly clients. I was seeing them 2 to 3 times a month each. Which meant I was working from 6 a.m. in the morning till probably 9 at night, every night, 6 days a week. And I had a great business, made over $100,000 in revenue that first 8 months. Had a horrible life because I had no life. My life was wake up, get ready, work all day. And at 9 o'clock, shut it off, do my paperwork, get ready for tomorrow, pass out, wake up, do it again. And I figured out a couple things. One, it worked. And I grew a pretty sizable business really fast. 2, that was not sustainable, meaning it was attainable to grow that fast and that quickly and have that many people to help. But it was frustrating because there's no way I could sustain that level of business just one-on-one personally. But I really do believe in the power of one-on-one coaching with somebody because you really get to know them. You get to know their world. You get to know what's going on with them. And you can help them maximize their performance by giving them the outside perspective and working with them.
Absolutely.
And so I had to figure out, how do I restructure my business model in a way that this is sustainable? So little by little, I started raising the price and reorganizing which clients and figuring out which clients I worked best with. That was one of the key factors that really helped me is I started to realize, hey, I can help these people get okay results. I can help these people get pretty good results. And I can help this group of people get ridiculous results. I was like, oh, note to self. Okay, I seem to be better. I mean, I can help all of them, but this specific group of people, I seem to be able to help get way bigger ROI on their investment than this other group. No problem. I can still help the other group, but let me find a different way to help them. Maybe it's through our free vlog. Maybe it's through our podcast. Maybe it's through a book. Maybe it's through a program we can create where their investment might be $10. They get the same result as if they're paying $500. And for them, that's a huge ROI because $10 in, massive life changes out. Boom. That's crazy. Versus these other group, this other group, they put $500 in and they would, start a company and take their business from $4 million to $13 million in a year. And I was like, okay, they're probably willing to pay a little bit more for that. And it seems justified, help a client sell a business, convince them to keep 10%. He makes $100,000 passive in a month. I'm like, that's probably justified to spend a little bit more on this coaching. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, interesting. There's a little group over here that gets ridiculous ROI, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, that would justify charging more and them investing more. This other group, again, let's write books for them. Let's make online programs for them. Let's do other things that their investment would be much lower and they would still get a huge ROI in their life, just not, a $7 million increase of their income. They might have their health transformed, which is just as important, if not more important, but their investment might be $200 instead of $500 a month. And so I started offsetting that to make sure that I was giving just an astronomical ROI to every person I'd work with and figuring out what types of products and services were needed to make sure that whatever a person put in, boom, they'd step back and go, wow, I can't believe I got all of that just for that investment. And that's what I was always trying to do there. So we started creating products. We wrote books. We have some online training programs, one of which we've retired recently and we're going to redo with Udemy coming up here this year. We've gone out and done corporate trainings. We do sales trainings and the motivation type stuff, communication trainings, relationship stuff. We have a bunch of different blogs where we put free content all the time. That way those people who are just getting started have access to lots of information. And then we try to do Facebook Lives all the time and literally do free hour-long training multiple times a week just to give information out to people so we can really help them. Fast forward all that, leaves us to today, 7 years later. We have, knock on wood, an awesome business that gives us the freedom to work from anywhere in the world as long as we have a laptop, the internet, and a cell phone available. We have thriving clients everywhere from Thailand to Tokyo to New York, London, everywhere in the world, Central and South America, Canada. We have beautiful and amazing clients who it's a pleasure and honor to be able to work with. We get to go do trainings for anywhere between, 100 people up to 10,000 people at a time all over the world. And we're author of this book. My wife and I are working on another book on relationships. And then we have some really great programs coming up soon.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Great, incredible story. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking that, and you probably have heard this a lot. I mean, this guy did. You did a lot more by the age of 24 than most people do with their whole lives. It's crazy.
That was the goal.
Yeah.
Well, someone tells you you got 6 days left to live. You squeeze right. A lot out of those you 6 days.
You did a lot of stuff. I wish you were around when I was in high school to teach me some of this stuff.
I didn't know it in high school.
I know. Well, you started figuring it out at 15, it sounds like. But and I remember reading some of these stories in your book, just fascinating some of the things you've done. And I've also had an opportunity to travel quite a bit around the world and see some of the things that you've seen, maybe not to some that extent. And it's eye-opening and certainly changes your perspective on things. I want to get back to you building that business and going out and getting 55 clients in 8 months and 100K in your first year. A lot of people might hear that and think, well, I would love to do that. How the hell do they do that? Yeah. I know you had a little bit of an advantage coming from a family business with a name, but you also had some partnerships that you set up, and it sounds like you were, in general, working your ass off. Yeah. But what are some other things that you did that are kind of transferable type things that you think helped made you successful in setting up that business?
Sure. One of them, a friend pointed out to me later. And he actually came to our Performance Coach University day training and shared this concept with people. And it's the idea of partnership. I didn't realize this when I first started. I was getting like 3 to 5 new clients a month, which is awesome. And that's, an average high performing new coaching business. That's a normal, like, hey, I'm doing it. It's working.
Yeah, a lot of people were very happy to have that.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, I that was awesome. I was loving it, but I wanted more. I wanted to reach more people. I wanted to make a bigger difference. I wanted to have a bigger impact. I wanted to make more money. I wanted to grow my business. And so there was this insatiable urge inside of me of like, I want more. Like, I want to do more. I want to give more. I want to build more. I want to create more. And I was trying to figure out how to do it. And so I had crossed paths with a lady who had spent 10 years building an audience in Los Angeles, California, specifically around wealth creation. And I sat down with her, and her business was pivoting at that moment because the real estate market was tanking hard. And so she was pivoting into a different business, trying to figure out what to focus on with her clientele that she had created. And one thing she was focusing on, she realized the mass majority of them had zero online presence for their businesses. And they had great businesses. I mean, they had everything as simple as, you know, a flower shop in Beverly Hills that generated about $3 million a year in revenue, which blew my mind. I didn't realize you could sell that many freaking flowers to people, but they do. All the way to, you know, a guy who custom makes furniture in Los Angeles, to, you know, health coaches, to all kinds of people doing really amazing stuff, investors, company owners, big business owners, standard marketing shops, all kinds of stuff. And so she was like, wow, a lot of these people are doing it the old school way. And none of them are really heavily online at the time, 2008. And I knew online marketing. I was learning it and studying it, not well enough to teach it to people though, but she had been using it for over a decade, you know, at that point, teaching people, or maybe not 10 years, but you know, 4 or 5 years, she'd been using it literally to build her business, to bring people into her events, to sell them into her opportunities, to showcase her information. Like, she'd been using it to gather all them as clients, and it worked really well. I mean, she had a multi-million dollar business. And she was like, hey, wait a minute, why don't we just share with these people everything I've done over the last 5 years, 6 years of my business to grow to what it is. And that way they can use it with their business. And I was like, that's a great idea. And she's like, but the biggest challenge is for most of these trainings is you teach someone something and they don't do jack squat with it. And I was like, I know, that's annoying. Like, I don't feel like wasting my breath just to teach someone that's not going to do anything with it. Like, I want them to go do something with it. And so I sat down and I said, well, why don't we partner in this way where you teach them the actual tactics and tools, I'll hold them accountable and get them to actually follow through. And then together, we'll make sure we get just astronomical results for these people. And that'll be amazing. So we partnered up and we went and taught a class, just a one-day class. And at the end of the day, we offered a 5-month package that we could help people through the whole process we had taught them. Lo and behold, and on that first day, we had 20 clients sign up in one day. And so all of a sudden as a coach, I went from 3 to 5 clients a month signing up to 20 clients in one day signing up. And I was like, wow, that's a game changer. All of a sudden my business went from like, you know, 12 to 15 clients to all of a sudden I had 35 clients like that.
Right.
And I was like, holy mackerel. Like, that's a big day. And I remember scratching my head and be like, it's going to work. Like, it's going to work. This is an opportunity.
Right.
And then the second thought was like, oh shit, I'm going to be really busy the next few months.
Yeah, what do I do now, right?
Now you just work the grind.
Yeah.
And fall in love with the process though. You know, how do you fall in love with that? Not just force yourself through it because you have to. So there's a few key factors though that made our partnership work. Number one, one of my friends, Topher, from Key Person of Influence here in Tampa, He talks about 3 different elements that a partnership can have. And he says most companies or people are good at 1 or 2 of them, but not all 3. And one is a brand, meaning you're recognized, you're trusted, they know who you are, you're credible, they believe in you, stuff like that. Like, you have a brand. Number 2 is reach, meaning you can really have a mass audience at your fingertips. Like, you can really reach people. And the third, if I remember correctly, is just an amazing product. Amazing product or service, something that's just world-class that speaks for itself, that when someone uses it, they go, wow, that was amazing. And here's what was interesting. She had a big reach, at least big at that time in my life, which was 10,000 people on her email list. I was like, hey, that's big enough. Like, I didn't have access to that many at all. I think I had like 100 people in MacMail that I would email once a month. So she had 10,000 people that were active readers and subscribers to her list and community. You know, she had a little bit of brand, meaning they knew her and they trusted her over the years she had worked with them. And I had a little bit of brand. I had some testimonials at the time. You know, I was starting to create a buzz of what I was doing. And then together we created a badass product that people really loved. And so when we combine all 3 of those together between the 2 of us, we created an irresistible offer. a sample of that, of how, you know, it happens in bigger media plays, is you take the quarterback from a very special team, you tie them with a media channel that can reach 50 million people on a commercial, and then you have them hold up a product that people are going to love and smile and say, Nationwide is on your side, or whatever the hell they say. But you combine those three, and all of a sudden, that's where all the magic happens in partnership. Someone who has a brand and credibility and trust, meaning they know them, they like them, and they believe in them. Someone who has massive reach, so someone can reach those millions of eyeballs, and then a product or service that'll absolutely over-deliver. I can't say Nationwide does. They're good for us. But that thought, that concept, you combine those two together, and boom, you get astronomical growth. And so that's what happened in my business, is I went from 3 to 5 clients a month to 20 clients in a day. And then we repeated it a few times, and it went, and then I was full. I was like, I got no more room. I'm full of clients. And now I need to figure out how to reach people in a different way.
Right. Man, that's awesome. I remember that being there with you when Topher spoke in Tampa a few months back. And that was definitely a key realization to think about looking out for partnerships. I also remember him talking a lot about expertise and domain and how to create that, whether through, I remember distinctly him saying the two ways to develop expertise, either be in business for 30 years or write a book, pretty much.
Yeah, and both help.
It was, and it was,
I figured I'll do both.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you can do both, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. You've done that, and I've been thinking about going down that path as well. It definitely works. I also appreciate you mentioning Nationwide. I'm going to have to reach out to them and see if they'll sponsor this podcast.
Possibly.
Now that I've got you with the jingle. But I wanted to, you know, on that topic, you started then working with a lot of entrepreneurs, and I know you've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs since then over the years. And it sounds like when you started thinking about who are my, you know, the clients I'm making the biggest impact for, it sounds like it is a lot of business owners who are able to grow their business, double revenue, whatever it is. So, you know, this being a show for entrepreneurs, thinking about ways that they can improve their businesses or get past major challenges they're facing, what are some of the biggest, kind of most common challenges that you see entrepreneurs facing that you're working with? And how do you help them overcome some of those?
Oh man, there's tons.
And that's a big question.
It's a huge question. The thought process of many of them, you know, there's lots of, so I'll start with different categories and stages of life. For younger, like young people just getting into it, I get hit up all the time on Instagram and all the time on Facebook and Twitter of people saying, hey, I would love to help with your marketing. Like, okay, hotshot, like, what do you got? And they'll come in and they're like, well, you know, you can hire me for X thousands of dollars a month and I'll come in and do marketing strategy for you.
Nice.
I'm like, oh, will you? Like, that sounds fluffy. And I said, so when we talk about marketing strategy, like that means you come up with a plan and then you implement it, right? And you get us the tangible results. And like, oh, no. I'll create the plan. You have to figure out how to do it. And I was like, really? So you're 18 years old. You haven't graduated school yet. You listen to some guy's online program called Starting a Marketing Agency. And now, I don't know if that character was in his garage too long, staring at his own cars and books, but they've gone through his program and now they're going to sell the world their marketing agency, you know, shindig. And that's good for them. I applaud them for being creative and gutsy to go out there and try it.
Yeah.
The part that's missing though is lots of young people want to be the strategy behind the cause and they have no clue what it takes to pick up a shovel and actually make that strategy work and turn into something. And so for younger people, if you go back to those stories that I shared in my journey, really learning what it takes to pick up the shovel and learn how to dig, learn how to work, learn how to grind, learn how to actually tangibly take a thought and turn it into reality. That's a huge, huge obstacle for most young people, including myself, when I was at that stage and moment of my life. I had every idea in the world and I was going to do all of them. If someone could just fund it and if someone could just, you know, hire the right team for me to execute. And if someone else could just manage it and make sure it went right, it was going to be the next $1 billion idea.
Yep, I've been there.
And we all go through that moment of life and the realization of like, hey, you know, look in the mirror. That's the guy or gal who needs to pick up the shovel and learn how to dig and own it. Just say, hey, I'm going to choose this idea and I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to work at it every day. If I have to go get two jobs on the side, P.S. When I started my business, I had three other jobs at the time. I didn't start with a bank account and be like, hey, let's see how this goes. I didn't have any investors. I didn't have any funding. You know, I was working, stuffing boxes at a warehouse 2 days a week. I was doing sales in between all my other calls. And then I was coaching for a low hourly rate on behalf of my family's company. So I had three full-time jobs or two part-time jobs and a full-time job when I was starting my business on the side. Like it wasn't all smooth and fluffy. And my dad had one rule with money. He helped me through college, which was a huge gift because I didn't have to graduate with debt.
Yep.
And then after that, he said, there's one rule. Don't ask. Figure it out. That's the rule. Figure it out. Because he said, you're going to learn more as a human being. You're going to become stronger, more resilient, more creative if you figure out how to solve the issue than if you ask and have someone else just nicely, you know, pad your path for you.
Yep. My situation and so was the same.
It was wonderful. Wonderful gift. Wasn't at the time. I was like, are you sure you can't help a little bit of investment? Just a small bit. Luckily, he was like, no, figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, go sell your car. Go sell something. Go figure out how to make it through those moments when it feels like everything's going to disappear, because that'll give you the creativity to actually do it in the future when you run into the same challenge later down the road. Yep. So I figured it out, put it together. And those moments, it was difficult. It was hard. It was crazy. But that ability to work three jobs while chasing my passion, while grinding every morning and every night that I could to try to build this little business, while learning new tools to then put into motion online and see if I could actually reach clients and customers, like all that tornado of craziness, that hurricane of awesomeness going on in there, eventually helped me to get to a place where I was able to bring on those 52 clients and have a booming business at a very young age. The other factors in there were I took jobs right out of school that I was trying to learn the skill sets for instead of a paycheck. Because I didn't get paid a whole lot for those first couple of jobs I took, but I learned a lot of life skills that were really crucial to my entrepreneurship later. And you know, sales. I didn't make a whole lot of money in sales because I wasn't very good at it, but I got 2 years and 1,000 presentations worth of experience in just 2 years. That was super helpful. You know, marketing. I wasn't really good at marketing, but I kept taking course after course after course after course and figure out how to get good at it. And I didn't try to sell anyone else my conceptual marketing of I'll do freaking Twitter posts for them. I actually took something I wanted to sell and I used my skills to actually sell the product, not sell people on the fact that I could possibly sell a product. I used it to actually sell a product. And you know, in the beginning, again, I was horrible. I did not sell a lot of products, didn't make a whole lot of money using those magical skills I paid thousands of dollars for. But over time, I refined the skills. I got better. I learned how to craft them. I learned how to improve. And then I was like, wow, I can send out a message and I can have someone purchase. Ooh, this is cool. Can I get them to do it again? Can I get someone else to do it? Can I get more people to do it? Holy mackerel, look at this. I've honed a skill. I've honed a skill called picking up the shovel that I know how to sit down, craft a message, send it out to the world. And when I do so, you know, new clients and customers come back in return. That's freaking powerful. And so really, truly, if you're young, that kind of stuff. Learn how to pick up the shovel. Learn how to take a skill and actually make it turn into an ROI for you, meaning you get a new client, you get someone to serve, you can make a difference in their life, you produce revenue in some way, you produce new business in some way, but actually make it work. Don't sell people on the fact that you know it. Actually sell people, actually sell products, move some services, do something to show yourself that you can get it to work. So that's young people. Middle stage people, whole different group of entrepreneurs. These are people, you've had a business for a few years, you're doing good, you feel like you're caught in a tornado of awesomeness, meaning you got a million and two things going on. You might have a kid or two by now. You might be married by now, have a husband or a spouse or wife. And it just feels like all hell's breaking loose in every direction all at once. For these people, there's very specific, tangible things. We're actually creating a new program this year. It should be ready in August for this specific group of people. There's really some basic level things you need to do. And I'll tell you specifics so you can actually just apply it. Number one, sleep. You need 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep every single night, no matter what. I don't care what person on what podcast tells you you can get away with less than that. Every scientific research study shows 7.5 to 8 hours or more sleep per night is the absolute minimum you need to hit. Two, nutrition. You need to pick which path you're on nutrition-wise. Are you trying to be Arnold Schwarzenegger? meaning lose fat, gain muscle kind of diet? Are you trying to run Ironman competitions, meaning you want maximum, consistent, long-lasting endurance every day? P.S., if you're a mom, you are a endurance athlete, in case you haven't realized it, because you need to have maximum energy, and a dad too, maximum energy from first thing in the morning to last thing at night. So you're an endurance athlete if you're a parent and an entrepreneur at the same time. P.S., and then there's one other category, which is longevity. You know, are you trying to live to be 110? That's a whole different diet plan than these other two. And it's a whole different workout routine. It's a whole different approach to life. And so what I meet is young people who are like, I want to look like Arnold. I want to run an Ironman. And I want to be able to live till 120. I'm like, dude, you realize that's trying to walk three different directions at the same time?
Right.
Like, why do you think Arnold doesn't do Ironmans? Like, P.S., he's pretty competitive, but there's a reason. And so, you know, people at this middle stage try to do everything all at once in every direction. Doesn't work. So really, truly, nutrition-wise and exercise-wise, figuring out what's your path and sticking consistently to it. Besides that, there's other experts who we use to train you on what to do in each one of those categories. But pick a category and do it. Next up, movement. Not just exercise, but, you know, getting your 15,000 steps a day in, like actively, physically moving your body. Also, egoscue, making your skeletal structure in alignment so you don't waste mental and emotional and physical energy trying to overcompensate your body being out of alignment all day long. So that's a way to get energy back. Those are the basics. Mid-level, mental clarity. You know, do you have the ability at any moment to take a deep breath, clear your mind, and be 100% present and focused right here in the now for the next 10 to 60 minutes? Most people don't. Most people try to become present.
I didn't catch that last part. No, just checking. Keep going.
So most people try to be present and they're like, okay, I'm here. Hot dogs. I think I like hot dogs. How's my kid doing? Is my kid still alive? Where's the dog going? Like, and then, you know, did I call that client back? Do they need me? Did someone text me? Did the emails go out? I don't know. But like, they're everywhere, especially at this middle stage of business where it's like work. And so with these guys, like, you need some way to track and measure and make sure you have total mental clarity and you're improving it every day like a muscle. So we use a little headband called Choose Muse, and it allows you to track and measure your actual progress every day. And it shows you how well you're actually able to keep your mind completely clear at will. From there, state, can you keep yourself mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, if you want to go there, in a positive, centered, focused, calm state? Most people don't realize they go into tense states all the time. And when you're in a tense state, meaning you're not breathing, or you're freaking out, you go into fight or flight, which kicks off a bunch of adrenaline and cortisol and stress in your body, which breaks down your immune system, which breaks down your ability for your mitochondria to react properly. If you're a Dave Asprey fan, his whole headstrong concept, it totally jacks up your performance just because you go into a tense state. So there's a cool device called Spire, which we use with all our clients. It tracks breathing patterns, tells you if you're calm, tense, or you're focused, just based on the pattern of breathing or the rhythm of breathing you're currently in right now. And so this concept, using this with these people, making sure they're staying calm and focused the mass majority of their day, and they're staying the least tense as humanly possible. And you practice this by helping them learn proper breathing techniques to keep themselves calm and focused all day. This is kind of a mid-level focus for these kind of people. Then there's advanced stuff. Advanced stuff, you know, do they have an ideal day vision for their life, which we talk about in the first chapter of our book? Do they have the right habits and rituals that are helping them become the happiest, healthiest, strongest, most resilient version of themselves every single day? Not only that, do they have deep meaning and purpose in all that they do? Again, I met a guy when I was living over in Uganda who all he did was swept leaves, and he lived in a broom closet in a little clinic in a village. And when I asked him why he did what he did, he said, because I believe every human being, whether it's a small child about to enter this world or a sick or elderly person about to leave this world, deserves a clear path to do so. And so a man who sweeps leaves as a job or a career has deep purpose, because in his mind, he's clearing a path for people to enter and exit this world. And that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So as that busy entrepreneur, do you have deep purpose and meaning in all that you do? Or do you just get shit done so you can get paid and go back to your family? Because if you just get shit done, I don't care how big your company is. I don't care how many millions or billions you make. I don't care how many people's lives you take, change and make a difference for. The problem is, if you don't have deep meaning and purpose, it all feels empty in the end. And that sucks. And I have clients who, you know, amassed 30, 40, 50 million, who've gone out and raised a couple hundred million to build their dream company. And if they don't attach deep meaning to it, they feel fucking empty in the whole process. And at the same time, if a guy who just sweeps leaves and lives in a closet can find that meaning and purpose, so can you. It's up to you, but you need the right guide to help get you there. Final piece, you know, do you have a powerful peer group? Do you have other peers who are at your level? who are in your same moment of life, who you can relate to and connect with. One of the most common regrets of the dying, specifically men business owners, is, you know, on their deathbed, they say, I wish I would have spent more time with my friends and stood in contact with them. So do you have a powerful peer group that supports you? It's also one of the biggest indicators of long-term health, longevity. It's also a big indicator of resiliency. If you go through a shit time in life, do you have people you can count on, you can connect with, that care about you and you care about them? So it's really important factors, health and longevity here, as well as well-being and overall performance. Final piece, are you happy? Do you love what you do? Have you set it up in a way where you actually enjoy the hell out of the process? This is a big thing. You know, I meet people all the time who are quote unquote successful entrepreneurs who hate every fucking moment of what they do. And they're like, well, you know, I'm just stuck though, because if I don't do this, I can't pay for my house and I can't pay for my kids to go to this school and I can't pay for our trips and I can't pay for all this other shit I pay for, but I'm stuck because I can't just quit and go to something else, because then I can't pay for all this life that I've created for my family doing this job I hate. And you kind of scratch your head and laugh. You're like, well, that's an interesting paradox. So really, truly figuring out how to help them first find happiness in where they're at. Because here's a crazy thing. A lot of people think, I'm just going to quit where I am and go somewhere else, and there I'll be happy. The truth is, the one factor that stays with you everywhere you go is you.
That's right.
And so there's a big fucking problem. If you keep taking you everywhere, and no matter where you go, you're still unhappy. The problem isn't where you're at. The problem is you're not fucking happy and you need to fix that. And so that final piece is showing people how to actually be happy with where they're at and how to be happy everywhere they go. So when you combine all that together, the basics, the mid-level and the advanced stuff, that's specifically how we help those entrepreneurs right there in the mash of everything. There's one other group we work with. These are some of our personal one-on-one clients. These are people who've already accomplished a heck of a lot in life. You know, they make $500,000, $1 million+ a year per personal income, or way more than that. They have multiple businesses. They have multiple employees. They have a family. And with these guys, a lot of times it's helping them figure out what's next. Meaning, who are they now? Where are they going? How do they maximize who they are? And how do they really enjoy where they're at? Because a lot of these people think, when I can just hit X amount of money and I can just have X amount of passive income and I can just not have to work again, then it'll all work out. And the truth is, they get there and they get bored of their fucking minds. And then they call me trying to figure out what the hell happened. And we get to sit with them and help them restructure a plan, design their ideal life, put it in the motion, and make all those things work. So all of a sudden they become happy, healthy, fulfilled, abundant, resilient. Obviously they don't need us for very long to help them do that. But once they've done it, they tend to enjoy coming back just to celebrate with us and plan out what's next from there. So we love working with those guys just because that's a very unique stage of life.
That's a lot to take in right there. You've kind of got this figured out after doing it for a little while.
We know who we're working with.
And you kind of put people in buckets there, which I know some people might be listening to and saying, oh, well, you know, people in different stages, they're not always the same, but you know, it's a good starting place. And then of course, I know when you're working with people one-on-one, it's still going to differ based on their, you know, their personal situation.
It's exactly why I believe in the power of one-on-one coaching. Because as much as I can group people on a podcast like this or a video, you know, a training like this and tell people there's different groups, When I get to know you individually, I get to know, oh, you're at this stage of your health, but you're at this stage of your business. You're at this stage of your relationship and this stage financially. Interesting. Whole different plan than if someone has a different order of those things. So the other factor that comes into play is not everyone is in one stage of life. Depending on what they've focused on, depending on how hard they've worked, depending on what they've been a part of, different parts of their lives are in different stages and moments. Because you can meet someone who's financially abundant beyond most people's wildest dreams, but emotionally, they're just learning how to get started. And it's like, oh, totally different game plan. Or you can meet someone emotionally who's a fucking rock star and can't figure out financially how to make enough money to pay their rent every damn month.
Do you kind of know right away when you start talking to someone where they are in this kind of journey or what stage they're in and what kind of help they need? Or does it take a lot longer?
No, we ask them. I don't guess. I don't walk around like, judging by what you look like, you're probably, I have no freaking clue.
Right.
You know, and the truth is most people on the outside don't really represent what's going on the inside. So we send them all kinds of forms and assessments and stuff they can do. And they fill these things out and send them back to us. And we talk to them. We get to know them. We poke holes and ask questions. And inevitably it comes back and we start to put a mental picture together and go, oh, this is what this person's world looks like right now. This is where they're really strong and resilient. This is where they're weak as hell and they have no muscle whatsoever right now. This is where they're doing okay. This could improve. And we started to put together a plan with them so that we can start to see a picture and go, oh, okay, cool. I see what the plan is looking like. I see how and when and where we can help them. And then we put together a proposal and we send it over to them and say, hey, here's what I see. Is this correct? And let them come back to us and go, mostly, like that part really doesn't matter. So we're going to scrap that. But these other three areas, I think you're spot on. I'd love your help in it. I'm like, okay, great. Let's work on it.
Yeah.
And so it's really a collaboration process of us getting to know them in depth and them sometimes getting to know themselves in ways where they just haven't thought about that category or they haven't focused on that one before. And so we really help elude the fact that they need to show them all the science and information behind it. Most of what we do, probably 90% of what we do, is all science-based. So we have research studies. We have all the information that backs it up. It's never me just having a good idea that we can manifest into reality what we're working on. Manifesting is awesome, but we show you the science behind it. 10% of what we do is a little bit of pseudoscience, just stuff that's worked before. And we're honest and upfront with that. We're like, hey, we like vision boards. Little bit of pseudoscience. There's nothing that says empirically, if you put that picture on that board and stare at it for 5 minutes a day, it's guaranteed. There's no proof on that, but it seems to work. So we use it. Yeah. Is it guaranteed? No, but it'll help for those who believe in it. But that's 10% of what we do. 90% of what we do is says, hey, Harvard says empirical data, 200,000 studies or 200,000 people on 275 studies, here's what works. And so we use the information coming from major universities and scientific research communities that show us exactly what to do to get the results they're after.
Right. Jarek, for anybody who's listening, entrepreneurs are listening to you talk about a lot of these different common challenges and thinking like, man, that's me. I am definitely struggling with that. What do you recommend they do? Is it, you know,
call Andy and ask him if he has any spots open for coaching. We've trained him personally. He is a rock star coach looking for more clients right now. So if you find this interesting or entertaining or useful, you're probably going to want to reach out to this smiley guy right here in front of me because he can do that for you and he can probably help support you through one-on-one performance coaching and many other ways as well.
Oh, that is very kind of you. I was just going to ask you, how do they go about finding a coach or a good resource? But obviously we've taken care of that.
There you go. We've trained you. You're awesome. You're badass. Right. You have much more training than just us. So there you go. Call you.
Well, if they want to learn more from the master or work with the master.
I wouldn't call myself a master. I'm an eternal student.
No. I was talking about somebody else, but I was also going to ask.
Oh, if they want to call you, what's the number? Go ahead.
No.
They want to be the master. They can call you at.
If they want to learn a little bit more from the sensei, the one who's been doing a little bit longer than me, and you know, get excited about some of the things you talked about. How do people find out more about you? How do they get in contact with you or just follow you?
Just Google us. If you just Google Jarek Robbins, it'll bring up my website, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, everything. Pick your passion. Whatever works best for you, join us on that medium. We tend to blast out information and wherever we put it, we try to splatter it everywhere.
Yep.
So no matter what medium you choose to connect with us or engage with us on, you'll probably get the majority of information. Most recently, the majority of our information is getting pushed out through Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. So if you like Facebook, join us on our Facebook page and we push out free content constantly about upcoming events, about what we're teaching, about content, all kinds of stuff. So that's a great place to just get consistent daily, you know, feed of great thoughts, great tools, great strategies.
When you hired that 18-year-old marketing expert, is that what the strategy they put in place? Just Google us.
No.
I like that. We're out there. So we're everywhere. So you could just Google us. No, it's great. I've been following you for a while. There's a lot of great free content out there. You mentioned the book a couple times, which is called Live It. I have a
copy Vevlo, if you
right
like
here.
Spanish.
I've read it myself. And you know, some of the stories you tell, as well as the Perfect Day exercise, some of the other things are in there. For anybody listening, I highly recommend this book. It is really great. As well as some of the other content you have out there. So Jarek, thank you very much for coming on the Entrepreneur Hot Seat. Really appreciate it. And look forward to following you and seeing what other great, cool stuff you put out there.
Thanks, man. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you everyone for tuning in.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Entrepreneur Hot Seat. You can find more information at entrepreneurhotseat.com or my personal website, andystorch.com. Please don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. And if you have any questions or comments, or if you are looking for ways to take your life and business to the next level, you can send me an email to andy@andystorch.com. Take care.